Quella era una sensazione.
It's 50 years ago this year that a television station for speakers of Switzerland's minority language of Romansh first went on air. And as that lady said, it was a sensation. Only about 35,000 people claim Romansh as their mother tongue, while about 60,000 say they use it regularly. A tiny minority among the nearly 8 million who make up the Swiss population. But in Europe alone, about 40 million people are in a similar situation. The European Commission reckons that's how many people regularly use one of the continent's more than 60 regional or minority languages. But what's really the point of minority language televisions? Izo Kamartin is a former professor of Romansh literature and culture, a writer and broadcaster. He remembers the first television programmes and was considerably less enthusiastic than the lady we heard at the beginning who said it was a sensation.
I was very sceptical in the beginning about the importance of television for a small language minority in Switzerland, because I always thought that radio is much more important for a linguistic minority than TV. In the beginning, it was also so that the programs of the Romansh TV were kind of symbolic and very folkloristic.
Welsh is another of the minority languages in Europe, spoken by about 600,000 peoples in Wales, about 20% of the principality's population, but very much a minority language in the United Kingdom as a whole. Like the Romansh, Welsh speakers have their own television channel, in this case S4C, which started in 1982. Hugh Jones is chairman of the S4C Authority, which oversees the provision of Welsh language television service. I asked him why he thought it was important.
Television is such an important, fundamental part of everyday life since about 50 years now, that if you want to create a situation where a minority language has any chance of survival, then normalization is an important part of that process. And normalization, in my view, means having a mass media platform which is available constantly and is therefore part of everyday life, therefore making it normal for people to use the language in all situations.
The Welsh example is being followed in other countries where Celtic languages are spoken, like Scotland and the Republic of Ireland, but where the number of speakers is far fewer. Is there a risk of the same sort of folklore bias, whether by their own speakers or by outsiders, that Izo Kamartin saw in the early days of Romansh television?
When I go to the Celtic Film and Television Festival, there's a tendency for some of the programming, at least, to be documentaries about different aspects of life out in the wild mountains and seas and so forth, you know. But, no, for me, your question was, is that how it appears from the perspective of others? I think, yes, probably. I mean, the problem that we got in Wales in general with people from England is that people come to live here and they've no idea that the language is still alive. People will buy a house in North Wales and they turn around and say, what, you mean to tell me that the school here teaches through the medium of Welsh? And they can't believe it. Any concept that they had of the Welsh language is something ceremonial, which just happens on Sundays.
At the beginning, Romansh television not only tended towards the folkloristic, it was sometimes also criticised in the press for being amateurish and boring. It was also very cumbersome. One shot, films were put together in Zurich, and it could take 3 or 4 weeks before they were broadcast. Things have come a long way since then. David Spindler is head of the Engadine office of Romansh television and radio, and works in both media.
I think that the television has become more professional or more visible also, because we have more time to broadcast. So we have every day, 5:45, we have the Telesguard. It's the news program from Television Romansha, and now this is every day 12 minutes. So that's quite big if you compare this with the beginning of our television. So you can really be informed every day on TV as a Romansh, because you every day have the 12 minutes, and there we are talking about the things happening in our regions, the things that are important for the Romansh people.
This switch in emphasis has led Izo Kamartin to revise his initial scepticism.
it has become much more founded in daily events and also from beautiful things up to scandals. And that is what the medium is about, I think. It has to be there at the right moment. It has not simply to be documentary in a way. It has also to be actual.
There are similarities and differences between the Welsh and Romansh language situations, which pose their own problems to television channels. Romansh has far fewer speakers than Welsh, but it has 5 written dialects or idioms, all with their own sub-dialects, plus an artificial unified language which no one speaks in everyday life. David Spindler explained how they cope.
Only the news we speak, the Romansh Rejun, it's the standard language we have. But the biggest part of our program and all our reports, we do it in our idiom. I'm, for example, speaking the dialect which is spoken in Valmisteir. It's called Jauer, and it's a part of Valader, which is the idiom spoken in the lower Engadine. And we have the problem that there are people which say, oh, I don't understand if I'm from the Engadine, people in the Surselva, and people in Surselva say, oh, if there is talking one of the Engadine, I don't understand him. But I think it's my personal opinion, if someone wants to understand the other idiom, then it's possible.
At least Welsh TV doesn't have quite that problem. There are only relatively minor differences between the language spoken in the north and that of the south.
Those who do spend some time watching S4C and listening to the Welsh language radio would be very comfortable with the other accents. And it has contributed, I'm sure, to a standardisation of the language, which probably wouldn't have happened otherwise. And that I think having a standard that is understandable by all is pretty important in ensuring the survival of a language as a language rather than as a set of dialects.
But a problem that they share is that their entire audience is bilingual. With practically no exceptions, all Romansh speakers are fluent in German and all Welsh speakers are fluent in English. If you want credible news coverage, don't you have to get the best possible interview partners? After all, dissatisfied viewers can always switch to broadcasts in the majority language. But is the pool of minority speakers big enough to provide an expert on every subject? And how to strike a balance between, on the one hand, finding just the right person, and on the other, not tipping over into the majority language? David Spindler.
For every report we're watching, is there a person which can speak Romansh? And if there is a competent person, then we take that person and not the German-speaking one. But if the person we have to ask something important only speaks German, then we take the statement in German. And then I'm talking my text in Romansh, but it's no problem. They understand German.
That makes it easier to have discussion programs too. Here's a brief extract from Controvers. The presenter has explained that one of his guests is getting a simultaneous translation. He puts his question in Romansh about healthcare personnel, and the answer comes in German. And the pool of interview partners? Obviously, there are some people who appear frequently. When you're reporting on an issue affecting a particular commune, you're bound to speak to the local politicians involved, for example. But on other topics, they can spread their net wider.
My reality seems to be that I'm talking to many persons, and I have quite often a day where I am talking to a person I never talked to before.
Hugh Jones.
It's a similar challenge, although you have a greater number of Welsh speakers, and therefore maybe there's a better chance that you will find a Welsh speaker who will be able to speak authoritatively on the subject in hand. As far as international events are concerned, it's quite successful in getting hold of a Welsh speaker in whatever country it may be to give the perspective of the person on the ground through the medium of Welsh. But it's actually quite a constant debate. It's been from the very first day as to how much English, if any, you should include on Welsh language television. And there's a range of opinions on this. There are some people who think that there shouldn't be any English at all because that undermines the service. On the other hand, I think the majority of people would say, well, it's okay to have some. It's okay if the contribution is particularly unique. The watchword, I think, is constant vigilance. I think the service has to make producers aware that, hey, there is a limit, and the fact that you think your program's okay to include a good bit of English doesn't mean that it's okay, because if every program does the same, then all of a sudden you've got a service with a lot of English in it.
Even if they broadcast in minority languages, neither channel is inward-looking. Quite the opposite. They're keen to reach out to those who don't know their language.
There's a drama series which is being shot at this moment, which is a detective series. It's called Matthias in Welsh, Heartland in English. Mm. It's been bought by Danish television as well as by the BBC in the rest of the UK. And it means that the costs are shared. It means that we can have a high production value program, but also have a Welsh language version that we can be proud of. Each episode would be shot twice. As far as dialogue is concerned, of course, in many TV programs, there are many shots which don't include dialogue, so you don't actually double up on everything. But the dialogue is shot twice, and therefore the actors have to be able to perform in both languages.
Romansh programs are carried on the German language channel. Izoka Martin is sure there's an audience.
People who like the region, who have a kind of relation with the territory, they want to know how life is there. And so there is a kind of interest for people who do not speak Romansh, but who have sympathy for it.
But how can they follow the programs if they
Because of the subtitles.
So are they always subtitled?
Today, in the more important programs, maybe not the first edition, the first day. But if they have a contribution there that they think it could be interesting for the whole Switzerland or even the whole world, then they make subtitles, and the next day you can see it with the subtitles.
And the internet has changed the world of television.
Today, the age of TV, in the sense of you have to be there to see it, is over. We can choose now the moment when we want to see something.
And it's not only the time you can choose. You can choose how you watch it too. It's a far cry from those early days of Romansh television, when few people even had a television set, and when no one could even imagine the electronic devices we have today. If you're curious to see and hear what Romansh TV is like, you can watch it any time on the website of Romansh Radio and Television, rtr.ch.